Well, it's good to have you here this morning. It's beautiful Lord's Day morning. My name is Doug Bozong, lead pastor. And if we haven't met before, please take time to introduce yourself here after the service. I'll be down here at the front. I wonder, does anyone here own a horse? Any horse owners here? No? Okay, I know we have a few in the church. Did you know that horses can teach us very important lessons? According to Sherry Butcher, who lives on a Texas farm with horses, horses like to form friendships. For example, in these friendships, the horses will stand nose to rump and use their tails to swish away flies from the other's face. They will also rake their teeth against each other's backs to scratch places the horse can't reach on its own. And not only do they scratch each other's backs, they have each other's backs. In the wild, they will spend the entirety of their lives within eyesight of another horse. And even domesticated horses who don't venture beyond their own fields or pastures will take turns staying awake while the others sleep, kind of like manning shifts on guard duty. Who knew, right? I guess horse owners know. Well, if this is true among horses, then how much more should something similar be true between brothers and sisters in Christ? Not that we necessarily need our brothers and sisters in Christ to, you know, swish away flies from our faces or scratch our backs. We might. Who knows, right? But what we do want to know, what we do want to see, is that we have responsibility toward one another, to watch each other's backs, right? To be on guard for one another. In other words, spiritually awake believers are vigilant for the well-being of other believers. So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. You can find that on page 832 in the Black Pew Bible. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." The Garden of Gethsemane, which means oil press, by the way, was located and is still located on the western slopes of the famous Mount of Olives. It was from the Mount of Olives that Jesus gave his famous Olivet Discourse concerning the last days. It was also from there that he ascended to heaven following his resurrection 40 days later. And it will be upon the Mount of Olives that Jesus will place his feet when he returns in glory, quite a significant sight in Israel. Well, here, he makes a simple request to his three closest disciples, Peter, John, and James. He says, "Watch with me." Literally, keep awake. Now, obviously, he wanted them to do more than just stay awake. He wanted them to stay awake in prayer, both for him and with him. And why? Because he says he was so overwhelmed with sorrow, it was practically killing him. As we'll read shortly, he also wanted them to pray for themselves, lest they fall into temptation, especially since he had just told them that all of them, every single one of them, was going to forsake him at his hour of greatest need. You know, in the New Testament, we see many examples of Christians asking other Christians to pray for them. For example, Paul says to, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. And then he speaks of a disciple by the name of Epaphras, who is one of you, who is always struggling on your behalf in his prayers for the Colossian church. And then more frequently, we see just this simple request, brothers, pray for us. Pray for us. This past week, I had lunch with a friend I hadn't seen in about 7 years. We first met at the Penn State Hazleton campus back in the 1970s. And during the course of our conversation, he surprised me when he told me that every Tuesday, he prays for me, my wife, my kids, and my grandkids. Wow, what a blessing. I didn't even know he was doing that. You know, some of you ask me sometimes to pray for you, and maybe you get the same request, and that's good, and I thank you for those prayers. Obviously, praying for one another is a vital way to be vigilant for the well-being of other believers. I wonder, how are you doing with that? When people ask you to pray for them, do you do it? Or do you let it go in one ear and out the other? I don't know if you're like me. If I don't write it down, I will forget. And so I have lists. I do. I have lists with names and prayer requests. And I'm going to talk about our CFC prayer sheet here at the end of the service. But be sure, as a matter of integrity, if you tell someone you're going to pray for them, make sure you do it. Amen? Make sure you do it. By the way, the ladies are going to have their monthly Praying Hearts meeting here at church this Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Hope you can join them, ladies who are available. Verse 39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm sure you're aware that redwoods are the most massive trees on the planet. They grow as high as 270 feet, and they can be 25 feet in diameter. Now, you would think that something that massive would have a very, very deep root system, right? But in fact, the roots of a typical redwood only go down 5 to 10 feet at the most. And so how do they manage to remain upright in storms for hundreds and some say even thousands of years? Well, you might also know that redwoods tend to flourish in groves. And over time, the roots of one tree become intertwined and even fused together with the roots of another redwood. And as a result, beneath the surface, these massive trees are like an army of men who have their arms interlocked and are supporting each other to prevent the adversities of nature from knocking them down. You see the application to our lives? Another vital way to be vigilant for the well-being of believers is by being alert for opportunities to support them in tangible ways. Obviously, Jesus was about to face one of the greatest adversities, if not the greatest adversity, that anyone has had to face in this history of this planet. His own Father was about to pour his wrath on his own Son for the sins of the world. But unfortunately, his disciples couldn't stay awake and pray with him, even for 1 hour. And in fact, just a while later, as Jesus had predicted, all of them would abandon him when he was arrested. And then Peter, not once, but three times, would vehemently deny he ever even knew Jesus. You know, one of the astounding aspects of this prayer of Jesus is that he prayed it at all. I mean, he wasn't seeking to discern God's will, was he? He knew what God's will was for him. In fact, he had communicated that will on many occasions to his disciples, which they found hard to believe and didn't understand, of course. Yet despite this, he asks his Father, if it's possible, Father, change it. What was Jesus doing? Well, in a word, I think he was being honest, right? He was being honest. He was being honest about the excruciating nature of what he was about to suffer on our behalf. Well, in a similar way, we should be honest with God. Yes, as an expression of our humble submission to God's will, we should pray, like Jesus prays here, not my will, but yours be done. But at the same time, we should be honest about what we're facing. Lord, this hurts. Lord, this stinks. Lord, I don't like this at all. Please, change it. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of this. You ever pray like that? It's okay. Jesus prayed like that, right? That's how Jesus prayed. You know, one thing that's so refreshing about the Psalms is how brutally honest they are sometimes, right? For example, in Psalm 13, we read these words, "How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Can you imagine that? God hiding his face from us? David wrote these words, of course, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So I guess it's okay. If you feel that way sometimes, you feel like God's hiding from you, tell him. David did, right? Or how about this one from Job? "Why do you hide your face and count me as your enemy?" Wow, that's even stronger, right? You ever feel like God's enemy? I hope not, but Job did for what he was going through. And then in the midst of a very fierce storm, Jesus' disciples had to wake Jesus up. He was sound asleep, right? And what did they say to him? "Lord, don't you care?" That's pretty honest, right? And again, we may feel that way sometimes, right? We may feel as if, does God really care? Of course he does. More than you can imagine. He is a loving father who loves his children profoundly. And so, yes, be submissive. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. But also, it's okay to be honest. Verse 42. "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" I look at this and I say to myself, wait a minute. Wasn't it enough that Jesus prayed once, right? Did he have to pray three times the same thing? Luke tells us that, yeah, God heard him the first time. In fact, it says there was an angel that appeared from heaven and strengthened him. So God was listening, right? God was listening. Have you ever had somebody come to your door and start ringing the doorbell and just incessantly, you know, or knocking, you know? And you're like, wait a minute, give me a chance, right? And it's kind of annoying, right? Guess what? God says it's okay to annoy him in prayer. Did you know that? It is. It's okay to keep knocking. In fact, Jesus says, knock, literally, keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on singing. Singing. No, keep on praying. I don't know why I said that. Yeah, you can keep on singing too. That's okay. But why doesn't God answer us the first time? Why do we have to persist in praying? Well, I want to suggest three purposes. There may be more, but at least three. Number one, persistence in prayer helps us to clarify the reason and the motivation for our prayers. Are you sure you really want what you're asking for? Why is it so important to you? What is your true motivation in praying? Are you generally concerned for the welfare of others, for example, or is there some more self-centered reason for your prayers? Good questions to answer. Number two, persistence in prayer helps us to purify our passions and our desires. How badly do you really want this? And what are you willing to do to get it? Are you willing to do whatever God asks you to do to obtain it? Again, good questions. And finally, persistence in prayer helps us to strengthen our commitment to God's purposes and plan. You would think that persistence in prayer would tend to wear us down, right? But actually, it should have the opposite effect. Having to wait for God's answer usually signifies that God has something bigger or better in mind for us, that there's something more to his plan and purpose for our lives that we have not yet understood or has not yet been revealed to us. Paul more or less says this when in Ephesians 3 he writes, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." The truth is, God delights in surprising us with his answers, right? He often surprises us in a good way. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we always get what we want when we want it, right? You know that, right? But what it does mean is that whatever the answer, it's going to be to the glory of God. And that, my friends, should always be our chief desire in prayer. Amen? That was Jesus' chief desire, that his Father would be glorified through what he was about to suffer. Prayer in accord with God's purposes is an outflow of trusting in Christ. Faith in Christ means desiring that all of our life, all of it, would be in conformity with his will. This is what his apostle John wrote when he says, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him." Why? Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Is that your heart? Is that your desire? If not, then the first thing you should pray is, "Lord, make me willing. Make me willing to want to glorify you no matter what through my life." I'm sure many of you are aware that the singer Celine Dion is suffering from a very rare disease called stiff person syndrome. It's characterized by severe muscle spasms and a rigidity that causes severe physical pain and also emotional distress. She did a documentary about it, a year or so ago, and it was very disturbing to watch her go through this, the spasms that she experiences. And when she first discovered her diagnosis, it was very devastating because it meant she could not sing anymore. It affected her vocal cords. Wow, that's how she made her living, right? That was her life, right? Singing. My wife and I had a chance to hear her in concert several years ago. It was amazing before this disease set in. But she says this. She says she has found a new purpose in her sufferings. She says no one should suffer alone. A lot of people are going through things alone for many, many, many years. If I had just stayed secretly behind the walls of my home, it would have become a prison. I would have become a prisoner of my own life. Maybe my purpose in this life is to help others. And that is the greatest gift. You know what? God's word agrees with her. Paul writes this, if one member of the church suffers, then all of us should suffer together with them, right? Is that true at CFC? Is that happening? How might we do better if it's not? One suggestion I have is on your way out this morning, and I made extra copies just in case. Pick up our prayer sheet. You know we have a prayer sheet? You aware of that? You can also get it online on our website under the Wednesday night tab. But what we have on here are people recovering from surgery, injury, illness, including Ben Kaufman, who we prayed about this morning, people dealing with cancer, people dealing with chronic health challenges, people unable to attend because they're shut-ins, engaged couples, expectant moms, families for the week, etc., etc. A lot of needs. If you pick one up, obviously, you can pray for these people, right? But then go a step further. Call them. Visit them. How about that? Say, how are you doing? What do you need? What can I do for you? Can I bring you a meal? Maybe they just want to hear somebody's voice, you know? Maybe they just want to know somebody cares. That's just one small way, right, of suffering together with somebody, right? I mean, it's not that hard, is it, to pick up a phone? I know we don't use it to call people anymore. We just text, right? But you can. You can actually talk to people and hear their voice. Will you do that? Will you commit to doing that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Whatever you do, don't be a donkey. There's another word for donkey. Be a horse. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that Jesus was willing to suffer for us. He suffered what we were not able to suffer, because if we do, we'd spend eternity in hell. Father, I pray for anyone here that is suffering right now, and I know in a room this large there are many. Father, I pray that you would meet them at their point of need, whatever that need is, that you would encourage their hearts this morning. And Father, that you would glorify yourself through the answers that you promise to give. And Father, there might be someone who has never trusted personally in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be that day. We ask that all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful day.